email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, poet Steve Denehan. It is Denehan or Denehan?
Denehan, yeah.
Denehan, yeah, joins us now in studio. A Quarter Dead and Half Alive is his new collection. So you're a dub who lives in Kildare.
Yeah, yeah, we just kind of kept going until we found our price range, you know. Right. That was the plan.
Yeah. Whereabouts in Kildare?
A place called Allenwood, small town. We live in the middle of nowhere. Allenwood's small, we live outside of it, kind of rurally, you know.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah. How long are you there?
Long time, over 20 years. Yeah, yeah. We're very happy there. It's very remote. I love remote, you know. So we're as remote as you can be. It's grand.
Listen, I love this collection, hey. Steve. I'm a late comer to poetry. I've told this story so many times, it's boring. Yeah. But anyway, I was told by a particular teacher in school that I was too mathematically minded to appreciate poetry. Ah. And I sort of took him at his word. And
right.
So I'm only coming to it at this stage.
Oh, yeah,
in my
sure
life.
Look, you're coming at
and
some point, yeah.
I was saying upstairs that if I was a poet, I would be you. So because right. we think the same.
Right. So, well, that's good.
And the brilliant thing about it, this is like a memoir through poetry in a way, isn't it?
Yeah, funny enough, I hadn't really thought about that. I was talking to your researcher, Raymond, a great lad. And we had a lovely conversation yesterday, and he was saying, is this, you know, what's kind of the point of it? And it was only then, it's like a diary, I suppose, but I never had a diary. So there's been a few books. Each one is probably a marker in terms of where I was at that time. And this one is very definitely, as I kind of see the poems again, this is exactly where I have been for last year or so. So it is. It's like a memoir. Yeah.
And last year was a big year because you lost your dad.
Yeah, it was a strange year. Yeah. Yeah. We knew it was coming because he had dementia and, you know, you don't get better from dementia, but it was just really, we had a lot of time to prepare. Are your parents still?
No, I've just lost my mum recently.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
Oh, yeah, no,
yeah. Yeah. But did you find, I found it really odd. You know it's coming and you know nobody lives forever. And so you prepare yourself as best you can. But, and obviously you're very sad afterwards and there's all that. But I just found the whole thing was weird. It was a kind of a huge weirdness about it. I still can't really understand. Where is he? What happened? I find that difficult to deal with, you know?
I suppose it's unprecedented. Luckily, we don't have to go through this often in
that's
our
true.
Lives, do we?
It's a once off, yeah. That's true.
You know, that's part of it. We didn't have much warning, so we didn't. Like, your dad got dementia when?
It was long, about 8 years ago, I'd say. Something like that. We knew. Yeah. But your mom was sudden.
Well, you know, 6 weeks we were told. You know,
oh my God.
Yeah. So, we did get a chance to say goodbye, obviously.
Yes.
But it was a short goodbye as opposed to your long goodbye.
I would have rather a short.
Would you?
Ray. Oh my God, it was an awful finish for him. He really, I think part of the problem was he knew his mind was going and he kept telling me, look, Steve, my mind is going. I'm losing my mind here. And there's no real reassurance you can give some because he is. And there's no kind of comeback. What we did was I would try, you know, you obviously encourage, but I often found myself trying to jog his memory. It was pointless, but it was an exercise that kind of benefited both of us, you know. But it was funny, actually, when I miss him, obviously I miss him all the time, but sometimes when I miss him, I like to hear his voice. And we were going through his stuff and we found a lot of dictaphones and there was tons and tons of tapes. And what he was doing was, as he was getting worse, he was reciting fairy tales, Snow White and stuff, the alphabet and that, into these dictaphones. So I played one and I played him occasionally. And there was one I played just last week and all it was Dad pottering around. I couldn't hear his voice, but it was enough to know. It was like he was in the room, you know. But then the news came on. So he was recording the news and I couldn't understand what the point was, but still I listened. And then, do you know what, after the news, there was an interview I'd done on the radio before and he was recording me. And it was an amazing moment because he's not a poet, neither am I a poetry guy, but he especially wasn't. And it took him a while to come around to this. So the fact that I found out he was recording me it was a big moment, you know, it was a lovely thing.
Because you were in IT originally and you're talking back on that. We'll talk about that in a moment. Just if you want those tapes digitized, I'd be happy to do it for you.
You're joking. Yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah, I can.
Wow, that's amazing. They're teeny guys, like they're not.
Yeah, well, if you give me the device they're played on.
Thanks a million. That's massive. Oh, wow. Yeah,
so there's a good bit of poetry about your dad. And very sad about one of the particularly sad ones was where you tried to get into his head. It's that where you encounter a stranger in your house. Is that you're trying to?
Was that in that book? Right. Yes. Yeah. 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 I didn't. Okay.
You don't know what's in your own book.
I just no, not really. No.
No.
I. They're kind of yeah. They're all, not old, but they're. They've been written a while, I suppose. You know, I thought that was a newer one.
Yeah. 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 And that is it's page 115. Yeah. I'll get it for you now, and you can read it out for our listeners.
Oh.
If you don't mind.
No, yeah, we'll give it a shot.
So it is you trying to figure out what it must be like if you don't know your son when he comes into your house or whoever.
Yeah.
Because you're suffering with Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that's what it is and not an intruder.
No, that's what it was, yeah. Funny enough, he remembered us all the way, right? There were moments right up until the very end. He knew all of us, even my daughter here who's here, Robin. But there was a couple of times with Mam, and Mam would have to address him towards the end, and he would say, "Do you mind me asking, who are you?" And she'd talk him through their marriage. She'd relive it actually with him, and it was a lovely thing for the two of them that they would retrace their whole existence together. And then he would come around. They were fleeting, but there was a time he did tell me that he forgot himself. Actually, a couple of times where he didn't recognize in the mirror who he was. Stuff like that. But he could articulate this. It was very strange for everyone, especially obviously for Dad in the middle of it. But yeah, it's not a good thing. Don't get to mention.
That's hopefully. Yeah. Well, how did you stave off dementia? William, we had a poet in one day and he said, don't get dementia.
Don't,
so I
don't
said,
bother.
Definitely, I'm not going to get dementia.
It's not brilliant.
Yeah. Go on, the stranger.
I try this, yeah. So, the stranger. The shock of seeing a stranger inside your home, the expected destroyed utterly by the unexpected. A person you have never seen before, walking down the hall, climbing up the stairs, standing in the kitchen. A person generating fear simply by inhabiting a space not meant for them. Panic first and then a decision, the decision, fight or flight. Both options long beyond my father, whom the stranger visits daily. That's that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not comedies, those dementia poems. There's loads of good
poems
about that.
Look, the comedy. You don't have to convince me. I'm recommending this.
Oh, cool. Poetry, thanks a lot.
The Quarter Dead and A Half Life. Yeah. And there's two very moving poems where one is you write a poem from your dad to your mum and then from your mother to your father.
Yeah. They were actually really easy to write. They came in a flash. And they're always the best when you just write something and it comes as quick as you can read it. It's just boom, 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 boom. So they would have taken less than 10 minutes kind of each. But those two particular poems, funny you mentioned them, have kind of done really well. I've got a lot of feedback on them, more so than a lot of others. So, yeah, they've seemed.
How do you know they do well?
That's the thing, yeah. So, well, the first one, the poem from my father to my mother was that one, New Irish Writing, the Irish Times, a few years ago. So that was a good indication.
Yes.
And then the other one, poem from my mother to my father, was published in Acumen, which is I don't know much about these journals and stuff, but that's kind of a semi-big shoddy kind of journal in England. And again, it's out there. So then you start getting lovely messages from people who can kind of relate to them. It's very, very nice.
You're sort of, it's not that you poo-poo the whole poetry world, but you're sort of irreverent about it. Is that okay to say?
Yeah, that's fine. I wouldn't be, like you say, came late to poetry, but at least you came to it. I never really came to, I always loved writing poetry, but reading it wasn't, I don't read poetry at all. I read a little bit that people recommend and it generally kind of leaves me kind of cold. So in fact, I don't even read I read fiction mostly.
Right.
Although I'm reading a big, massive, gigantic biography of Hitler at the moment, which is it's heavy going. Like, turns out underneath it all, he's not a great guy at all, old Hitler, you know. But it's good. But yeah, I would stick kind of to everything but poetry. But a good poem blows my head off. But I just don't find there's a lot of them, you know. For me, they don't work for me, you know.
And you're not afraid to have a go at some people. Great writer and his process.
Oh, yeah.
Page 50, it says here on my notes. Page 50, the great writer and his process.
Okay. No, that's true. Yeah, I remember that.
Go on, give us a blast of that there.
The
great writer and his process. Steve Denahan.
That's me. A great writer, was asked for his secret. Just how does he write such powerful poems? He talked about his process, how he would find a quiet time in a quiet room and fall into a kind of meditation, during which he would search deep within himself, earnestly trying to reach depths previously unplumbed. He stated that often he would surprise himself, discover more about himself, free himself from himself. It all sounded quite pretentious, but stuck for a poem today and with nothing to lose, I decided to try it. Closing the sitting room door behind me, I turned off my music, sat on the couch, opened the laptop. The silence was pure, pure enough that I could hear it. I closed my eyes and waited to tumble into myself. Minutes passed and it occurred to me that the writer, great as he was, never explained what to do when a person journeys into themselves to find that there is nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. You get those kind of interviews by writers and they're fairly la-di-da, you know, and I kind of recoil from those, you know.
But you're obviously asked those questions by people.
Yeah, no, I would be, yeah. And but I don't have any.
So what do you say?
I don't have any answers. Yeah.
What do you say then?
Just kind of write, you know.
Yeah, I mean, just write.
Just write. You know, just get down and write. I mean, that's the thing, though. Like, there's a lot of, with poetry, there's tons of kind of lofty ideas around it. And it's nearly intimidating for people to when they sort of want to write something. Yeah. It's never going to be a poem. But they're really easy to write because you don't have to work on a sort of a skeleton. You don't have to work on a beginning, middle and end. You can have a snapshot. Just write about a moment or an emotion. It's a fantastic thing. Yeah. And poetry should be for everyone. It's simple.
Well, you see, it was originally, wasn't it? That's the thing. Yeah, classical music was for everybody originally. It was pop music.
Yeah, that's it.
And these elitists have come in.
They've
and
come in.
For everybody, the rest of us, haven't they?
That's right.
I think that's it.
No, they definitely have. Yeah, yeah, they have. But sure, look. Yeah, I'd recommend anybody write a poem.
Yeah.
Just give it a shot. See
and
what
don't
happens.
Think about the process.
No, don't. No processes.
And Robin, you mentioned Robin already. She's 13.
She is.
And there's a poem, Mount Carmel Maternity Ward, January 2012.
Ah, that's an old poem. Is that in that book?
Yeah, that's in that book as well.
that's an old poem. Yeah.
Right, okay. Can you tell me how this book was put together? If you're saying, that's the second time you said to me, oh, is that poem in that book?
Well, so, there is actually a small story behind that because it was picked up by 5 years ago, I'd say. Say 70% of the poems in this book were picked up as a book by quite a large publishing house. And it was just sitting there and they wouldn't do anything with it. Uh-huh. And I kept saying, listen, what's going on? And I got nothing. So eventually I pulled it. And I had already had a book with this amazing press, Renard Press. And I just said, look, Will is the publisher. I said, look, I have another book here. I think it's my favorite. Some of my favorites are in it. I can add to it or freshen it up. Would you want to look at it? So he did, and that's what's here. So there is some of them are kind of older for me, you know.
Right.
But that's I remember that. That was a nice.
So you're not an imposter.
I am an imposter. I am. Yeah.
Because I once spoke to a guy who had a book of recipes, and I mentioned the recipe, and he had no clue it was in the book.
He was just the name behind it. Oh my god! I say that happens.
Oh, a lot.
That happens. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a great one about traffic. You use the spacing between words to good effect. And then because we were talking about a deer in a roundabout off the end.
I heard,
there,
yeah.
And you are stuck in traffic and you observe a dog doing a poo. And you see, you have to find inspiration anywhere, isn't that?
There's poems everywhere. Yeah, it doesn't have to be about Greek philosophers. It can be about any single thing, and it can be nonsense. But as long as it's authentic and real.
Yeah.
I think that's everything. And it doesn't have to be laddie-da fancy or anything. It just has to be true to you.
What about, you know, the legals of writing poetry? You know, like, can you libel somebody in a poem, I wonder?
I think you can because I had, in the previous book, the publisher said there was, I think, two poems that he wouldn't accept.
Uh-huh, because
and one was because of that, I think.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah, so you can, I suppose you can.
You can, yeah. Once it's in print, I suppose, you know, even though it's only opinion, I think you can.
Yeah.
Have you got a poem in mind that you want to?
No.
Unleash.
I'm not going to write it yet.
All right.
But watch this space.
Yeah. Nice.
But the brilliant thing in reading yours and other poetry is that you can vent and be authentic, but disguise at the same time.
No, it's true. Yeah, you don't want to be too explicit. And in fact, even in the kind of unventing type or non-venting poems, it's nice to have a little bit of room for interpretation. And the person reading it may pick up an entirely different meaning from it. And that's absolutely perfect. I love that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I get messages. People can be very kind. And I get messages saying, listen, that meant a lot to me because. And the because is not anything of what I, you know, but look, it's brilliant. It's brilliant, you know. Yeah.
And just before we leave Robin and Mount Carmel Maternity Ward, January 2012, and coincidentally, this month is breastfeeding month.
No.
That's the topic there.
Oh, yeah.
We mentioned that you worked in IT and Hat Street Years is a poem about your former life.
Yeah, that's true. It feels like a long time. It was a long time ago now.
When was it?
Yeah, it was. Well, I left IT about a year and a half before Robin was born, I'd say. So Robin's 30. About 15 years ago now, right? Yeah. So it's a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it occupied a large part of my life up until that time, you know.
And you called it churning drudgery.
Yeah, I didn't love IT.
No.
No, but IT didn't love me either. It was not a good fit at all. Now, considering that, I stuck around for a long time, way longer than I should have, really.
Yeah, the final verse, stand, whatever you call it.
Ah.
I remember standing in the lift with another guy. We both looked straight ahead.
Oh, yeah.
It's a living, he said. And I thought, is it?
Yeah, I remember that exact moment. I remember it. I even remember the jacket he was wearing. Yeah.
Do you?
I do, yeah. Yeah, I do. Funny, certain things stick. That was actually towards the end. It didn't work for me right at all. And I can't believe I lasted so long. And in fact, I definitely overstayed my welcome in IT. It wasn't for me. And it actually, I still shudder.
Do you? Yeah. It triggers.
Amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there's a lot more to talk about. I'm sure we will chat again. A Quarter Dead and Half Alive, Steve Denhan's new collection of poetry, Reynard Press. That's Reynard Press Poetry. Lovely to meet you.
Thank you very much, Ray.
Thank you very much.
Really appreciate it.
Thanks,
Steve. Thanks
a lot. Now, a quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.